following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
There's just something really cool about Thanksgiving Day football. Zach Zapman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Hallis Hall. Bears Lions coming up from Ford Field, and we are joined right now by a man who's going to be playing in that game, the rookie defensive tackle Will Sutton. Man, this has got to be like the longest year of your life. When you consider last year through the combine and into this season, and you know Jeremiah Ratliff got hurt early, you had to play. Mm-hmm. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, it's a grind. Yeah, it's been a grind. I don't remember the last time I had off, but it's fun though. That's why I do it. You know, I love the grind. I love the work. You have to work to do this. You know, it's a lot of hard work. Not too many people could do it.
You know, Will, you got a lot of influences in a young life. You got Coach P, you got Jared Allen, you got Jeremiah Ratliff, you got Willie Young, you got Lamar Houston, even Stephen Pye, a young guy with experience. How have you been able to take all that in this short amount of time that you've gone from college to pro?
We're up here pretty much all day, so, you know, you gotta be able to know how to manage your time to talk with one another. You know, when we're in the meeting rooms, we're all talking, hanging out outside of football, you know, there's always opportunity, time and opportunity to talk to these guys, and it's just upon myself to take advantage of it and when to pick and choose who to talk to, who's going to go. And it's also on them, too. A lot of those guys, they go out of their way to make sure that I'm doing, you know, helping out, contributing, doing the best I can do to help this team win.
You were a two-time Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, so you had a little bit of skill before you came to the Bears. But give me the scouting report when it comes to each veteran on the defensive line that you play with now and how each guy has helped you get better.
Man, I would every guy's help. The main person, you know, I'm looking up to is Jeremiah, you know, because that's who I'm behind. And just from, you know, him, watching him in his career at Dallas, you know, that's the number one person, him. And being able to play against Pye, seen him play in person. So Pye is a good everybody does a great job of sharing the love of knowledge and just whatever they pick on, you know, they don't keep it to themselves. In the film room, they tell everybody, they let everybody know, this is what I look at. Let's see if you can see it in the film, and if you can find it, then you got to be able to communicate it on the field. So it's just overall the group of guys just in our D-line room is just a great group of guys, period.
Hey, Will, I want to talk about two plays so far in this season. The one that you took Geno Smith out of bounds, and first of all, what do you consider your 40 time?
Tell the truth, I don't
brag. I don't care. Brag.
No, tell the truth, I don't know. My 40 at the combine was horrible, but
say fast enough.
Yeah,
well,
I can game speed. I can run. Yeah, I can run.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. I can get to that ball.
I was impressed that you even made the effort against Geno Smith, even though Carl Pekarski, the ball boy, took the worst of the hit of that. But then, now fast-forwarding to the Cam Newton incident, where you also had another challenge of the quarterback while he's getting out of bounds, and then the backup quarterback jumps up and gets in your face.
Yeah.
What was that moment like? Because I haven't seen that before.
Well, those two plays were just I'm just a highly competitive guy, and I just there's no free passes. You know, if you're gonna get out of bounds, you better make the effort to get out of bounds. And the Geno, that one was late. I watched it, and it was a little late. But the Cam Newton one, it was clean. He was still in bounds when I went for the hit, and I guess they felt like since he was making the attempt to go out of bounds, he should have been left alone. But there's no free passes when I'm around.
So. Were you aware of the quarterback in your face?
No, not until I stood up and I heard somebody yelling. So I turned around and saw it was Derek Anderson. Derek Anderson, backup quarterback. I saw him in my face, and I'm not the type to – I'll walk away, but it took a – I just got really upset.
I liked it. I liked it from the broadcast.
But guys, isn't it kind of important? You know, Will, you're taking on a team this week that, and I'm sure you've seen the video time and time again, and your veteran teammates have probably warned you about it. The coaches have this team likes to instigate.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions and Bears have a little bit of a history. how crucial is it to keep your composure? Right now, it's easy to say, oh, you know, I'll stay calm. But in the heat of the moment, it's not that easy.
No, it's not. It's not. And that's why you just have to be, like, just mentally tough. You know, that's the main thing. You know, you can't throw any punches out here. You know, you got to be able to – there's a time and a place, you know. And for us, like, yeah, we're going to talk back. But, you know, you got to know your team needs you. So you don't want to do anything stupid to where you get ejected and you hurt the team.
You know, it's a unique competition for you this week, Will, because you have Dominic Rioli, who brings a lot of bad blood to this game and just the way he plays a lot of time. But there's also Ndamukong Suh that you'll never play against him. But the performance of the defensive tackles of the Bears and the performance of the defensive tackles of the Detroit Lions, it's really important to the outcome of this game. So playing against a guy like Suh just on the other side of the ball, it's got to be motivating for young guys like you and Ego.
Oh, yeah, it is. And we know as a D-line group, we have to outplay their D-line, their group of D-linemen. So because we know that up front, it's going to be – it starts with us up front, but we know that both us and Detroit have a really good D-line core. So whoever outplays who is the team, I feel like, is going to get the victory.
Willie Young. I'm sure he's doing a lot of – he always does a lot of talking, but you know this game means more to him than just an ordinary game. He started his career with Detroit, knows all about what that defensive line likes to do, knows all about the guys that you guys are facing on the offensive line. How much has he been helping all of you guys out this week in terms of learning about the Lions?
A bunch. For the guys who they got a, you know, of course they got a bunch of guys, a couple guys hurt, but for the guys who are playing, you know, he knows all about it. And just from the center they have in there, the veteran guys know all about him as well too. So, you know, it helps because Willie was practicing against these guys, so he knows their practice habits, he knows what they're weak at, he knows what their strengths are. So it helps out a lot.
Hey, Will, can you leave the fact that it's a holiday behind and understand that you got to go out and play on a Thursday and give the same effort that's expected you have on a Sunday?
Oh, yeah. We know we know that from the get-go. It's, games like this is the one where are the most competitive ones because, you know, everybody's watching. And so these are the type of games that we live for, you know. Me personally being a rookie, this is my first time playing on Thanksgiving, so it's going to be great because I grew up watching every Thanksgiving football game.
He's got the smile from ear to ear. We got to take a time out when we come back. Hey, I've got a question for Tom when we return because we were talking about guys kind of staying calm during. Tom, did you ever lose it during a game? We'll find out next from Tom Thayer. Will Sutton is our guest. It's Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Enter the Palermo's Family Getaway Sweepstake for your chance to win an all-expenses-paid trip to the Bears versus Vikings game in Minnesota. Visit chicagobears.com/getaway to enter. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios inside Halas Hall. Zach Zabin joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Our guest for the full hour on this, I guess, what, Thanksgiving week edition is Will Sutton before the Bears get ready to play the Lions. And we were asking Tom beforehand, and I want the answer because Tom's generally always calm, cool, collected, but it's still football, and football's a game of emotion. Did you ever lose your mind, Tom, during a game where you heard about it from your coaches because you let your emotions go to the extreme?
No, I didn't. I never lost it, but I do remember Chase and Brian Bosworth down once in the one game that he did play against the Bears, trying to get a hold of him for something he did cheap, and I took exception to it during the play. But, you know, offensive linemen, you can go back and you can ask your coaches on the sideline, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you call this one particular play because then I can get a shot at a guy legally? So I don't think I ever lost. I've only was fined once in my whole career, and that was for leaving the bench for a fight and not instigating one myself. Hey, Will, have you been fined yet on that Geno Smith hit?
No, I wasn't.
Good.
What are you trying to take money out of?
No, it was one of the curious questions I had from the past because when I was up in the booth watching that play, you know, you see Will Sutton chasing him, and then you have about you know, a couple seconds to think about if he's really going to go at him or is he just going to let him kind of comfortably run out of bounds. And I think that really sits in the back of the minds of the quarterback when they say these guys aren't going to let me just run out of bounds. And because there's a flag thrown, you don't know the sensitivity of the league nowadays. Uh-huh.
Has anyone ever taken a cheap shot at you? I mean, really, one of those deals where it took every ounce of restraint in your body not to pick up that extra flag?
I would have to say, yeah, the Jets game, the same game. Yeah, I had a hard double, and I actually beat the double. And as I was standing by the, like, you know, you got to protect yourself at all times. I was standing by the huddle, the pile, but my head was on a swivel still, and one of the tackles came down and tried to get me, but I kind of, like, felt him coming, so I was able to dodge it at the same time, and I switched the table on him.
Nice. Tom, for people who might not understand the hard double, what Will's talking about, can you explain it?
Yeah, it's two offensive linemen trying to block one defensive lineman, trying to get him off of his spot to try to get to the second level so they can have one of the blockers slip off to get to a linebacker to try to increase the running hole that Matt Forte or the running back can get through. And, you know, that's the challenges that these guys face every single play. You know, Will, and that brings me to my next question, because I think ultimately the Bears are most successful when you guys can work as a four-man defensive line. Uh-huh. You don't have to bring that fifth, and you're getting really good stunts on the inside, stunts between ends and tackles and both you guys on the inside. That is the key ingredient, is when you guys can work as four. And is that pressure on you guys this week to make sure that it's the four of you guys starting the effort?
You know, it's pressure on us always to get to the quarterback, you know, because that's our job. But, you know, we just go at it every week. We got to look at what the quarterback does. We know Stafford is going to throw it. He's going to throw it in every chance he can, and he can move in that pocket a little bit. You know, he's not the most athletic, but he's athletic enough to get out and roll out and make those good throws. So it's up to us to, you know, rush lanes and to be relentless in our rush. You know, we can't be timid in the rushes, because that's usually how they get out. But if we're relentless and staying in our rush lanes, then we're doing our job.
This segment is brought to you by Subway. Stop by your local Subway restaurant today and try a flavor-packed double meat sub from the Bears lineup. Limited time only, Subway, eat fresh. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer talking with Bears rookie defensive tackle Will Sutton here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We've heard the terms stunts, twists a lot this week, especially the way you guys were able to get the pressure against the Buccaneers. What's the difference for people who might not understand but watch football but don't understand the difference in the terms? What's the difference between a stunt and a twist?
A stunt is when you're just pretty much you're lined up in your gap and you're moving into another gap. And then a twist is when you and another D lineman or you and a linebacker exchange, say one guy has B gap and the other wraps around. That's a twist. That'd be a twist.
Yeah, a twist just involves two guys. You can have a stunt that involves three guys from the defensive line or even includes all four guys. And when you have these stunts that involve more than one or more than two guys, they're intricately done. They have to work in an exact. It's maybe one guy scraping a shoulder off a hip, so you don't have increase the opportunity to get blocked. You decrease it with the efficiency that you guys can run twists or stunts.
Yep.
It's a coordinated rush.
Mm-hmm, it is. A lot of coordination, timing, communication. It a lot goes into it.
Well, you know, for defensive line to run stunts efficiently, it's like an offensive line blocking a run play efficiently. Mm-hmm. It's an extreme to perfection. You can't be in a general vicinity. You have to be on an exact foot with an exact lean with an exact hand placement. Mm-hmm. Hey, Will, one question I did want to ask you, because one thing about becoming in the NFL, you get to be on the field, and sometimes you get to see superstars that you dreamed about from TV. This week, I remember the first time standing next to Calvin Johnson, mm-hmm. and it just amazed me what a specimen he was, the pregame ritual he went through. Have you seen anybody, or do you ever, you know, look to see a guy like Calvin Johnson?
Well, every week I see somebody. so, you know, it's just a blessing to be here. That's the main thing. You know, it just means that I'm up there with these guys. You know, I may not be like performing yet to these guys, but I'm in the NFL with these guys, growing up watching these guys, and being able to be on the same field and go up against or play with these guys is a blessing.
And then there's actually playing alongside some of the guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Jared Allen next to you. Mm-hmm. You've got Jeremiah Ratliff, who's one of the best at the position that you play, the three technique and the interior of that line. What stands out to me is last week, after the first couple of series, he came back to the bench, and I think he was yelling jelly, right? Mm-hmm. Because he understood exactly what the word was, mm-hmm. that Josh McCown was using every time the Buccaneers were going to pass the ball. How does he do that?
It's just, you just got to listen, open your ears, listen to the checks, you know. If you catch on, if you hear it, if you hear a call and they run a play, and then the next time you go out there and they say that check again and it's the same exact thing, then there you go. That's the key right there. That's one of the tips.
Will, you have really good discipline when you're over the football. Are when you're at home, do you listen to the cadence of the quarterback, or do you just try to stay away from those sounds and only move when the football moves?
Only move when the football moves. So we try to wait. When it comes to the cadence, we listen, but we don't listen for the cadence to get off the ball. We listen to the cadence for any keys or tips on what type of the play is, and then we just watch the ball.
We've got to take a timeout, but Tom, I would think that that's easier on the road when the crowd is quiet.
Because exactly.
The home team offense is on the field.
But sometimes it's more distracting when you can hear the count so clearly.
Yeah.
And that hard count makes you susceptible to jumping.
All right, so we'll get back to that. I love this inside football stuff. Will Sutton is here. So is Tom Thayer. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. Alongside the Arizona State star, the guy who's in his first year with the Bears playing defensive tackle, Will Sutton. I'm Zach Zabin. Tom Thayer is along. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And it's time now, guys, to decide on the player of the game from the victory over the Buccaneers, brought to you by Sports Authority. All things sporting good. There are a lot of different candidates. You can go with Matt Forte and the two touchdowns. Ryan Mundy had a pick. Chris Conte had a pick. But I think you got to start up front, because the defensive line had a whale of a game against the Buccaneers, guys. And we can only give it to one guy. And if you have to pick one guy from the defensive line who was the player of the game, how do you not go with Steven Paya?
Yeah, you have to. He had two sacks, and, you know, that's big as right there. So, but, you know, it's tough to choose just one person. Because in my opinion, I would just have to give it to the whole defense as a whole, period. I think, in my mind, we played a real great game in offense, you know. We had to pick it up for offense a little bit, but they, you know, we just kept them up, you know, kept when they came back to the bench, you know, we just said, keep going. We got you guys. And they came out and they picked it up and we got the W.
You know, I agree with Steven Paya. You know, one thing about Steven Paya with the sacks and then the interception that Chris Conte got, it was because of Steven Paya taking momentum off the throw. And, you know, that was a key ingredient here, is when you talk about it doesn't result in a sack, but the pressure results in a lobbly thrown pass that resulted in an interception. So I think Steven Paya did a heck of a job. But, Will, one question I wanted to ask you. The one pressure that Steven Paya had, in the quarterback knows he fumbled, but the defensive player didn't feel the fumble. Is that kind of just a feel when the ball is on the ground? Because when you go back and we have a luxury of slowing down the tape and you see it, Josh losing control of it, are you aware of that, or are you just so intent in getting the quarterback?
Well, on that one, Steven who caused that fumble, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that moment is, you know, you make the tackle, you get so excited on getting the sack, and it's just the heat of the moment. Sometimes you see the ball, sometimes you don't, and in that situation, I don't think Steven saw the ball come out. He just he made the tackle, and then all of a sudden it was gone.
Earlier this week, Willie Young was talking about he was starting to compare the Bears' defensive line to the Lions' defensive line, and he talked about just the size that the Lions have on the interior. Then he got to the Bears. He started talking about the interior of the Bears' line, and he called Paya 4-foot-something nose tackle, but he goes, man, the guy just has excellent balance, and he's got that. Mm-hmm. He's so strong.
He's strong.
He?
Yeah, he's unbelievably strong.
What does he do in the weight room? For normal people that wouldn't understand.
I don't watch because I get upset, so I just continue to do what I have to do. and let Paya go work out.
Is he stronger than Garza?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. Because Garza's strong. I don't watch Garza either, though. There's a lot of guys I don't watch.
Because it's a self-confidence thing, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of guys. So I'll just stick to my sets and let me work on myself before I'm looking at everybody else work out.
You know, Zach and Will. Will, you get in here. I think Phil told us a story that he either went to scout you and you sprained your ankle and then came upon Kyle Long, or it was the other way around. Went to scout Kyle and then you had a really strong game. Do you remember the story behind that? Because I remember Phil told us that, and one of you two players got discovered by Phil going to look at the opposite player.
Oh, yeah, I heard I heard about it. Supposedly, Phil told me he went to the Oregon game.
To see me.
Oh,
and then he saw Kyle
Long.
And
then I hurt my knee, and that's when they watched Kyle.
So a double thank you, I think.
But the thing about it is he was still impressed enough with Will that he's drafted here, but then you have the opportunity to go and see a guy like Kyle. And that's my next question. What's the practices like between, you know, young guys, you know, because you guys are the same age and not the same age, but you've been around the same time. How is it going against Kyle as opposed to going against a guy like Roberto who's got all the experience on the line?
Well, with Kyle, you have to use all your technique. You have to bring it because he's a big, strong, powerful guy. He'll knock your helmet backwards if you're not if you're not on your P's and Q's, you know. So with Kyle, you got to bring it every play. And Garza the same way, because Garza knows all the tricks of the trade. So he knows just the little moves that'll get you off balance by a half a second, and he has you. So you gotta bring it with everybody. Everybody knows something to where if you don't bring it, they'll capitalize and you'll be getting cussed out by coach.
and Coach P, Paul Pasqualoni, the Bears defensive line coach, he's not quiet.
No, he's intense. he's an intense man.
And you got Clint Hurt too, mm-hmm. helping him out. Mm-hmm. It's a loud, loud room that you mm-hmm. guys have.
It is.
And
it is.
With Coach Hurt,
and then we got Joe Kim with our pass rushing techniques and hands. You know, just our whole room, how they just set it up is just perfect. You know, a lot of the older guys say this is one of the best situations they've been with. You know, we got three coaches. We got a bunch of vets. We got it's just unbelievably it's a blessing for me to be me and Ego. You know, us rookies to be here and to be able to learn from three different coaches, all types of veterans that have done it, and it's just great.
Well, you came from climate perfection at ASU. The field there is perfect, and now you're not in that situation. You're going to play in a dome, but then you have to go to an outside field. Do some of these veterans have to relay kind of weather information to you, how to dress or what type of cleats to wear or any of the scenarios that you've gone through because of the weather that you've luckily played in college?
Well, I like playing outside. I like playing in the grass. Playing games in the grass, you know, I'm more of a grass person. But the weather, you know, none of the guys really – the only thing different we really have to do is just put on a different type of cleats. We got to put on the screw-in cleats because, you know, the grass is slick out there. But other than that, you know, no sleeves. Not a lot of guys are out there with sleeves. And it's something that – it's a mental thing. You can't really – it's cold, but we know it's cold, but you can't worry about it.
Yeah, I'll bet you there have been a couple of times this season where you wanted to have the long sleeves. You just can't do it because there's peer pressure on either side of you, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we've got to take a timeout. When we come back, one of the things that I do want to discuss is a lot's been made about what was said at halftime and Mel Tucker raising his voice. We're going to find out what really happened at halftime because I thought you guys defensively were having a pretty good first half. Did anything need to be said? And then also there's been a lot made about just the players in general watching tape together and learning from one another. We'll find out next from Will Sutton, the Bears rookie defensive tackle. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer with you. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. With Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin, joined by Bears rookie defensive tackle Will Sutton here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. All right, so what happened at halftime? Because I think a lot of people have been talking and a lot of stuff's been reported. What happened at halftime of that game last week against the Buccaneers? Because defensively, you guys were applying consistent pressure, but the Buccaneers had the lead. The offense was struggling somewhat. And then in the second half, you guys were able to yank the ball away, put the offense in a position to score. But what happened at halftime?
You know, it was just – we finally got the – you know, Coach Tucker is a – I feel like he's a great coach. You know, he really understands his game. He puts us in the right places. We just got to put on our part, execute. And, you know, he has a passion for this game like no other. And, you know, he was just – it's just hard seeing us work so hard and seeing us do what we're coached to do and it not working at times. And he just came in at halftime saying, keep playing your butts off, keep playing. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And just him – by him saying that, which we hear all the time, but the way he said it, the passion in his voice, we heard how he said it was different than he usually does. You know, he was more, the emotion was really, we could see the emotion in his face and in the tone of his voice, and it just triggered us in a way to just go out there and to play at another level.
You know, Ego Ferguson, yourself, you got David Bass, you got Cornelius Washington, you have a bunch of young talent in this defensive line room. Is it these guys that they kind of stop and just take notice of what the veterans are doing? Or is it the young guys, do they get involved in the conversation, or is it allow the veterans to lead the momentum from the defensive line?
Well, the good thing is the vets, they give everybody a say-so. Everybody has a chance to say what's on their mind, to speak up if there's a problem. We have to, you know, we can't have problems with one another if we want to win games and be a team. So whenever there's something up and somebody has something to say, everybody has a chance to say it, even if it's from me or Ego to, you know, Jared Allen or something. Everybody has the right to say something. So that's a good thing about our group. Everybody can speak their mind and say what they got to say, and then we all do it as a group. So then if somebody has something to say and everybody doesn't agree with it, then we have to fix what that person wants.
So you guys watched tape together prior to the Vikings game, and then you did it again before Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, this week, even though it's a short week?
I don't know if we're going to do it this week, but the last 2 weeks we took it upon ourselves as a defense to just go in there and watch film on our own and communicate with one another, with the other coaches there, you know, give it a little change up in meetings, because, you know, meetings can get a little dry at times, but, you know, it just gave us a change up to see if we really knew what was going on in film, and we do, and that's the great thing.
You know, something about this last film is every one of you defensive linemen contributed something, and you kind of don't have that fun to be able to watch the tape slowly because you're automatically on to Detroit. That's why the defensive line has to come and have another big game. So you do have that fun of going to the meeting room with your peers, because you had big tackles by Cornelius, by David mm-hmm. Bass, by yourself, by Eagle, by everybody. And that, you know, that's the fun of going into a meeting room with your counterparts and watching tapes like that.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that I found interesting, you said that even you're allowed to talk. Like the younger players are allowed to say, have you said something in the meeting? Did you have to summon up courage to do it with all the big names in that room?
Tell you the truth, there hasn't really been a time where I had to really say anything. The only thing I really do is just ask coach a question here or there, but usually it's pretty self-explanatory on the film, you know. Even the vets ask a lot of questions as well too. You know, we take a lot of notes, so there's really not that much talking going on, because everybody has a good feel for what we're trying to do when it comes to the game plan every week.
Is Ego the jokester between the two of you? Because I just heard out of the locker room that he is the jokester, and then you kind of are not his second fiddle, but you go along with him.
You're Robin to his Batman.
Yeah, he said that last time. Yeah, I let Ego do the talking.
He's a little different, isn't he? A lot of times when you're a member of a rookie class, you kind of have to hang out with the guy, mm-hmm. but it really helps if you get along.
Oh yeah, get along.
And you guys do.
And we
it's
do.
Not
yeah.
fake.
Yeah, it's not fake. We hang out all the time. Matter of fact, we're about to go get something to eat. But yeah, we're real close. We do a lot together. We got to keep each other. You know, we keep each other going. You know, it's like you said earlier, this is one of the longest years for us, and it's great to go through something like this with somebody else, and especially somebody who you can get along with and connect with. And so it's just been great.
But Will, how was draft day? Because man, they draft two defensive tackles right in a row. You know, you kind of go, oh, I hope they don't draft one till next year, but then they have one, you know, come right back to back. How did you feel about that on draft day? And did it help you gain confidence during the course of the season when you did come here with Ego?
Well, going into it, I knew when they drafted Ego, I was like, okay, I knew what type of player he was. I knew he's a true, he's a nose guard. He's a big physical nose guard.
A run plugger.
Yeah. Right. And I knew by them taking him and them taking me, that means they're looking for a nose guard and a three technique. So I knew there wasn't any bad blood toward ego during the draft at all. It was when he got drafted and I got drafted, it was like, oh, we're on the same team. So that tells us that they feel like we're the two who can the future of this organization. You know, somebody they see that we can come in and make plays right away, and that's what we've been kind of doing. We've been, you know, thrown into the fire and been holding our own.
And that says something. We got to take another break here, but when we come back, what does it mean when an organization basically entrusts you and the guy next to you drafted together as the future of the interior of for a team that has been known forever as a defensive-oriented team? We'll discuss next with Will Sutton. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Zach Sabin, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer. And our guest tonight is Will Sutton, the Bears rookie defensive tackle, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And, you know, Will, you were talking in the last segment about how you knew right away when Ego Ferguson was drafted in the second round and you're drafted in the third round, that the team is counting on the two of you to be the future of the interior of the Bears defensive line for years to come. And then you know the organization that you're coming to and the history of defense, but there are guys playing those positions that are not willing to give it up. What's it like when you start practicing with the veterans and you know that Jeremiah Ratliff's the guy in front of you, and for Ego, he's got Stephen Paya, and there's Jared Allen in that room, Lamar Houston at the time, and then you've got Willie Young. That couldn't have been easy initially.
Well, going in there, it was like we knew that we were the two guys that they're looking in the future to, you know, be a force to, you know, in for this team. But coming in, we knew that there's guys in front of us. We knew, but the good thing is there are guys we can learn from. And so our first
thing, they accepted
thing,
you.
Mm-hmm, yeah, our from the get go, you know, they knew why they brought us in as well too. So they took us under their wing without even us, you know, coming to them, asking them questions. They just, a lot of the vets took us under their wing right away, talking about, you know, we know what you guys, like, they knew that we were two guys who were going to play right away. And so we needed to catch up as fast as we, yeah, up to speed with those guys. And all the vets took us under their wing from the get-go to help us prepare us for this season.
You know, Will, you specifically knew that you were going to be a three-technique defensive tackle, and that's a defensive tackle that plays on the offensive guard, not on the center. So now you just get done playing against a team that had Gerald McCoy. And then the new technology of the NFL that you're a part of, you know, coming out of college, and the offseason opportunity to study. Will you look at a guy like Gerald McCoy? Do you like watching tape? And do you like the technology that you have in the NFL that you have immediate access to viewing the tape as soon as you get on a team playing a bus or even home after a home game?
No, yes to all three.
So you do appreciate a guy like Gerald McCoy, 93, from Tampa.
Oh, yeah. A lot of guys. You know, my coach, my D-line, my last year at ASU was my D-line coach was Jackie Shipp, and he coached Gerald McCoy at Oklahoma. He coached there for 14 years, so he coached Gerald McCoy and Tommy Harris. So those are two guys that I looked up to, you know, as being a three tag, Gerald McCoy, Tommy Harris, Ndamukong Suh, you know, John Randall, Warren Sapp, guys in that nature with the speed and the power of the explosiveness of getting off the ball and getting sacks. You know, those are the guys that I looked up to.
Do you like the technology that you have the immediate access to it? So, you know, you have a longer plane flight, you can watch it when it's still fresh in your mind.
Oh yeah, we get after away games. We can get the film right onto our iPads right away. We can go into our video guys and ask for anything up to the last seven to 10 years. So on anybody, we can ask for anybody's film. I can go in there and ask for.
You can look up some old 5'7" back from the 80s. You know,
that was Tom. He had hair back then. You wouldn't recognize him. Totally different guy.
I had a skullet.
No, But it is, you know, did you just say skullet?
Skullet. Yeah, that's the bald mullet.
Yeah, that's the first time that's made Bears All Access. Tom adding new terminology to the program. But, you know, a lot of people always ask me, what's it like on Bear Force One, the team plane? And I say it's very quiet because now everyone's got the tablets that you're reviewing everything that happened in the game, specifically the things that can help you. Sometimes people automatically start looking ahead. It's study time when you're traveling now.
Yeah, it's on that plane, you know, it's pretty quiet. You know, you could talk and everything. Guys talk and have fun, but you know, a lot of guys don't like flying. A lot of guys want the time to fly by. So a lot of guys will put their headphones on, put a movie, and go to sleep. A lot of guys watch film. Take
now, are
notes.
You next to Ego on the plane?
Yeah, I am.
Don't tell me he's scared of flying.
Huh? No, he's not.
Oh, because,
no.
I mean, the way he acts, I'd be stunned.
No, he's not. No, he's not. But he's one of the first to go to sleep, though, so. I'm right there next to him, though. Sometimes I can knock out before takeoff, so.
It's an interesting way because the camaraderie is created on the team, and some of the camaraderie had to be created this year. You know, when you get on a plane after a loss, and it doesn't seem like there's that many people. When you're around a college crowd, you got 100 and something people floating around. Do you like the closeness of your teammates and the chance to get to know guys better when you are flying in less than perfect circumstances?
Yeah, it's... You know, the flights.
Do you have a go-to guy that you like to just maybe bounce something off of?
And
not Ego?
Yeah, oh, well, yeah. See, the tattoo, this, the only person that really, if I really have something to talk about is, like, that's really, like, bothering me would be Ego. But the next person in line I would have to say is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the guys, you know, on the D-line that I can really go in and talk to. Brandon Dunn. One of our practice squad D linemen is rookie class with us as well. Has been here since OTAs. Is another guy that's in the loop too that I could talk to.
Little chippy in practice last week. Brandon Dunn with Kyle Long. I thought maybe you know some of you rookie some of you younger defensive linemen were going to have to go in there and bail them out a little bit.
Yeah, it gets intense in practice because you know we don't have pads, but then you know we have to work. We got to compete. And sometimes it gets to the point to where we're not on the same page, the O-line, because the O-line and D-line control how the practice is going to be. And when one side is going harder than the other, then the other starts going harder, then one side gets mad, and it just gets real hectic at that point.
Hey, I think that's good overall. It makes you a better football
yeah,
team.
Yeah, because we're in practice, we compete. You know, you got to compete in practice to where you can go out there and get these wins on Sundays, you know. And that's something – that we do. We compete, and it shows. That's why I got a little chippy out there last week.
But, you know, Will, this is going to be an interesting challenge for a guy like yourself when you've never experienced going game to game without that physical confrontation in between it. So now you got to be physically ready Thursday morning, a half hour earlier than mm-hmm. normal, and without having any of that, you know, pre-contact that you've had in 9-on-7 or any of the other drills that you go through during a normal work week.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is, you know, we really have to get in there and, you know, if something is bothering you on the body, you got to get it taken care of because, you know, quick turnaround, we leave tomorrow. So we got to get in there and get whatever injury or nicks or bump bruises you got to get to it and, you know, get rid of it from the get-go. Or
I've got great news, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills last played, they were the last team to win at Ford Field, and they didn't really have an opportunity to practice, and they blew out the Jets. So mm-hmm. it is possible if you study, take care of your body, do the things you have to do
yep.
to go out there and play at an extremely high level. We've got to take a break, guys. Tom Thayer's here, so's Will Sutton. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Bears defensive tackle Will Sutton, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you aboard here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You know, in our last segment, Tom was talking about, Will, how things got chippy in practice on the interior of the Bears line last week. And then I'm thinking to myself, and I know you're probably thinking the same thing, Will. You know, you got Tom from the 85 years. Everyone knows about that defense, mm-hmm. the offensive line block for Walter Payton. Man, Tom, you guys must have had battles back in the day.
Well, you know, it was different then because practices were live and we are allowed to cut in practice. Will, if you were coming around on a tackle stunt and you were coming towards me, I would cut you. And it did create a lot of fights and a lot of angst. And we also had some disagreements between coaches that kind of elevated, like, oh, let's go out and make this practice a little chippy. And sometimes those things are instigated when a team needs maybe, you know, 5%, 10% more motivation in a practice, and they just spill over, and, hey, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all talk tough, the old guys. But, if you could do it again, would you rather have the practice restrictions that the teams have now because of the collective bargaining agreement, or do you think you have to do it the way that you guys did it?
No, I would like to do it the way it is done now. I would like to go through training camp the way it is now, because back then you were in such a nasty state of mind getting ready to go to training camp because everything was conditioning and every practice was full pads.
Your dad went through it, right?
Yeah, my dad went through it, yeah.
Yeah, Tommy played for the Packers.
Oh, my gosh.
No, he just played. He played half a – not even a full season with the Packers. He was mostly with the L.A. Rams, though.
What'd you learn from him?
Well, my dad was a corner, the main things my dad just taught me was just, you know, being humble, always being somebody else to go out there and outwork. Because he was one of the smallest guys. My dad's 5'6", 5'7", you know.
So Stephen Pius size. Totally kidding.
But is that where your athleticism comes from,
Yes,
Will?
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah, well, and for me, being an undersized D lineman, he has the perfect things to teach me, to where being somebody, being undersized and being playing in the NFL, playing against guys way bigger than you, competing against, trying to get a job against other guys who are bigger and stronger than you as well.
You know, Will, one thing I did want to ask you, and I'm always curious, because when you have a veteran that's been around other training camps, they can have a little bit more clear understanding. But when you went through the training camp, was it fatiguing to you, and it was run at such a fast pace, and you go from drill to drill, to situation to situation? Was it confusing for you at the beginning, where something you had to catch up to, or was this the norm that you went through in college and it was similar atmospheres?
When it came to the speed of getting the drill to drill, it's probably about the same. The way we practiced in college with Coach Graham, everything was speed, and everything had to be done within a certain time period, so everything had to get done fast. And going into camp, it was something that I was already, you know, how do I say it, already
prepared, mentally
yeah,
prepared,
yeah, already yeah. familiar with, yeah, you know, already prepared for it. And a lot of the vets talked about camp, saying, you know, this is one of the best camps they've been through, you know. And Coach Tressman has put up. He put up what camp is now compared to how camp used to be, and we were looking at the number of practices, and we were just like, yeah, we're glad we're on that side than how it was before everything changed.
It is true if you work smart, though. I mean, you can't go out there and just be glad that you're not going through camp and it's just not as physical. The first camp I went to, I think I went through 22 straight days of doubles where we're in full pads every practice with conditioning after every practice. Again, that's just the way it was back then. Yeah. So, Zach, going back to your earlier question, I think it would give you an opportunity to extend your career, having the opportunity to live through the NFL training periods nowadays. But again, Will, I think you can't accomplish anything in the NFL if you're not willing to put the work into the off season.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the key, is when you're invested in the weight room and you're running on your own and you're studying at a time where your friends are out. That is going to be the key ingredient for Will Sutton to have longevity success in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't think enough – a lot was made about this, I think, when you first joined the Bears. You had to go through, just from a physical standpoint – from your junior year to your senior year, just your body, they made you change it in college. What was that all about? And are you where you want to be right now, or is there still more work to do physically to get into that premium level?
It was a roller coaster ride. It was a lot of ups and downs. But right now where I'm at, I'm where I need to be at in weight wise. But what I would like to do is get stronger and lower the body fat as well too. But my body fat has been real good. Last time I got in the bipod, I was 17% body fat at 290. So I'm doing it right
now.
You're
better than me.
I'm doing
good.
Well, do you think good. It's, do Do you think it's easier when they supply and provide the food they do in a professional atmosphere? Is it easier for you to control your weight, or was it? Did you have more discipline in college when you didn't have the money and the access to the food that you do in the NFL?
Tell you the truth, I think the process. I think it's harder now because we have a lot more free time on our own at the end of the day, to where you can go out and when we're done, you can go out and have another two to three meals right. if you wanted to, right. you know. But yeah, being in college, being, you know, not really having the money, you have to really know when to eat. But I think the best period was the training period, where I had all three of my meals cooked. I had my two snacks daily already made and cooked for me. That was the best thing.
All right, we got to say goodbye. Where are you having Thanksgiving after the game?
Somewhere here. On the coach's house somewhere. I don't know yet.
All right.
I'm going to go get me some good eating, though.
Well, weigh-ins Monday.
Feast on the Lions first. For Will Sutton and Tom Thayer, Greg Miller, and Paul Zerang, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone.